About 3 years ago, two colleagues of mine at Cornell University and I got together and began to do what became the very first peer-reviewed scientific investigation of methane emissions from shale gas development. And we concluded as a result of that study, which, by the way, was a paper study. We didn't go out and measure anything. We just took what was then the best available information and data from the U.S. government, from industry, and from academic sources, and tried to piece together a best guess, because no one had ever gone out and measured.
And what did you find?
What we concluded was that since it was a guess, the high end could have been as much as about 8% of all the natural gas produced from a shale formation would be emitted into the atmosphere without ever being burned, and at the low end, somewhere around 3.5%. And we thought the answer was somewhere in between, and we said somebody better go out there and start making these measurements, because they're really important. The second most important greenhouse gas is methane, and it's not far behind carbon dioxide in terms of its overall effect on climate.
But your research has been challenged by other scientists, hasn't it? Because you're taking the whole life cycle, which is a different way of looking at those escaped emissions, a much broader pattern. So maybe it's not surprising that you're coming up with a higher figure.
Sure. One can always close one's eyes, put their head in the sand and say, I only want to look at part of the problem. But the climate responds to the life cycle. The climate doesn't care whether the methane leaks at the well pad or at a storage facility or from a pipeline or from a vent. The climate responds to the sum total of all those leakages. If the primary concern of Australia, the Australian people, is as a country to do their duty about climate change, then the correct solution is not to increase the development of any fossil fuel. It's to, as quickly as possible, decrease the development of fossil fuels and substitute non-greenhouse gas renewable energies.
That's a surprising position for someone who has worked within the industry for all these years.
No, not surprising to me, and not surprising to some of my colleagues in the industry that share my opinion. You can take any technology to an extreme, and shale gas development or widespread coal seam development is an extreme form of energy development. That's why they're called unconventional. If it was easy and cheap, we would have been doing it 100 years ago. This is all that's left.
What do you think about farmers' concerns with the aquifer? Have you done any studies when you looked at fracturing and the kind of technologies that are being used there? The big concern here is that it might interfere with the aquifers.
Yeah, we have a paper about to appear in a very reputable journal that studied one state in particular, Pennsylvania, where there has been an onslaught of shale gas development, something about 8,000 wells drilled in the last about 5 years. And we looked at the regulatory agency in Pennsylvania. We looked at their records and discovered that a very significant percentage of those wells is leaking methane. And that leaking methane can contaminate an underground source of drinking water, the water that farmers might use for drinking or for irrigation on their farms. So one can expect that if you have thousands or tens of thousands of coal seam wells or shale gas wells drilled in Australia, that you're going to see the same effect. You're going to see initially about one out of every 20 wells will fail. It will leak. There's a possibility, not a certainty, that leaking well can contaminate water. We certainly have experience in that same state of Pennsylvania where hundreds of families have lost access, and these are mostly farm families. Hundreds of those families have lost access to their water wells because they've been contaminated. Some of these wells can last in shale, in gas, and coal can last for decades, and shale can last for 6, 7, 8 years. Those wells gradually deteriorate. You're talking cement and steel underground for many years, transporting things that are saline, perhaps acidic, and eventually the wells start to deteriorate and they leak more often.
Tony Ingraffia, just a question about your impartiality here. Are you funded by any organizations that oppose the coal seam gas industry?
Absolutely not. I am funded by my salary at Cornell University.
And have you always been opposed to coal seam gas industry, or is it something that sort of come to you later as the research has unfolded?
It came to me over the last 5 or 6 years when I saw the extreme forms. So those extremes in scale, needing to use much higher volumes of fracking fluid, producing much higher volumes of waste, needing to drill many more wells, resulting in much more land disturbance, resulting in needing much heavier equipment operating on the surface for longer periods of time. And all those additional wells have to be connected by pipelines. They have to be connected to processing units and compressor stations. And you wind up industrializing a countryside that was not industrialized.